Welcome to Look Behind the Look, the celebrated podcast that explores your favorite looks in film, television, and fashion history. Through conversations with the fashion world's elite and award-winning hair, makeup, and costume designers on sets around the world, you will see and hear exciting tales from behind the scenes, career origin stories, and tons of advice and tips. I'm your host, Tiffany Bartok. Hey everybody, welcome to Look Behind the Look. Today I am talking to hair department head Susie Mazzarisi Allison. She's the hair department head for this great new show on Apple TV called Hello Tomorrow, which you may or may not have seen. If you haven't seen it, it's really something to see. The art design is incredible, the hair and makeup is beautiful, the costumes are awesome, the performances are great. You're going to love seeing Billy Crudup and Alison Pill in this. They give great performances. And this whole term of retro future is something that we talk about. I was pretty unfamiliar with it. I was like, okay, it's either retro or it's future. But retro future is really becoming the rage. It's a very cool aesthetic, and we really get into the nitty-gritty of it in this show. We also talk about Susie's amazing career. She has done it all. You're going to hear all about her work on one of my all-time favorite movies, which is The Greatest Showman. Is that one of your favorite movies too? I feel like there's like a secret society for this film. I love it so much and nobody ever talks about it with me. You guys want to talk about it? Please enjoy this conversation with Susie and head on over to Apple TV and check out this show. You're going to love it, and I want to hear what you think.
No one here is not a dreamer. Not in a world like this, where you can have it all. We live with miracles at our fingertips. We got robots taking out the trash. We fly to the stars. And that's what I want for you and your families. That's the dream you all deserve. Soon you folks will be saying, wow.
Susie, hi. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
What everybody does not know is that we have made Herculean efforts here. Thank you so much for all the back and forth. I'm so happy to be finally talking to you about this amazing film. I mean, TV show, which actually it feels like a film. It's the best production design I have seen in forever. It's gorgeous. And I wanted to talk to you about what retro future is. Exactly. Right. 'Cause that's what Hello Tomorrow definitely is.
Right. Right. Well, I would say it's like when retro future to me means when something in the past might predict the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, let's just say like we have the '50s, let's say the 1950s look of the show, which is basically the basic set design, costume, hair design. And then you have robots and you have these cars and you have flying objects and briefcases that move and all that stuff. So it's basically, to me, that means it, lots of old movies do that. Back in the '60s, when you see movies about the moon, you would see a lot of like '50s ads in the newspapers, and you would see people wanting, basically Billy's story is going to the moon. So,
right.
I mean, basically that's pretty much what I think it means to me. That's what it means.
Yeah.
If you ask a set designer, they might say something different than me, but for hair.
Yeah. Because the hair was influenced by the past, right?
I mean, exactly.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And so you stuck to that inspiration for,
we did.
For the hair.
Yeah.
Okay. So what were some of your sources of inspiration? I mean, I'm getting Twilight Zone vibes big time. mainly for Billy, of course, but like Alison Pill is, you know, flawless always, and her hair is on point. And okay, I have another question for you after you tell me a little bit about your inspirations.
Well, basically, I would say more of the actresses from the past, like with Shirley's wig. She wore a wig, a short, and it was designed more towards the 60s to make her look a little bit more sophisticated, since she was his right-hand arm, his right arm. Was basically by Gina Lollobrigida, who was wore in the 60s. She had that short hair. With
totally.
The wispy thing on the side. So that was my inspiration for her.
Oh, I love that.
With Myrtle, I'd say it was more a cross between Marilyn Monroe and Grace Kelly, but more with a housewife twist to it.
Like a housewife. So
your basic 50s, smoother with the finger waves and the curls, and that was for her. And then for Barbara, Jack's mom, it was basically, I went to Leave It to Beaver, you know, with the mother from Leave It to Beaver. That's basically what
June Cleaver.
Exactly.
Right?
June Cleaver. Yeah.
I love that.
And then put it up in a twist in the back. It wasn't exactly like her, but that was my form of what I thought that character should look like, was in that era. Yeah.
That character is awesome. I love her. She's hilarious.
She's really good in the show. Yeah.
What are some of the most important things to keep in mind about this genre? Like, are you totally, so that you can focus, do you keep it 50s in your mind and not deal with the future element at all? That's just maybe production design?
No, as the time went on in the show, basically for the hair, it was definitely the 50s. Mm. With costumes and makeup, they added much brighter colors instead of keeping the soft pastels of the 50s. But with the hair, they really wanted to stick to that 50s look. And I took it a little bit into the 60s, like with Shirley's wig. And as time went on, different episodes, as we go to the, whether we're actually boarding the plane, you'll see some of the stewardesses with much sharper lines and bobs that look a little bit more futuristic than what everybody else looks like. And that was basically like the background, your featured background. So they went to a little bit more spacey looking, and the costumes got a little bit more spacey looking. But for most of the show, we pretty much kept the hair in the 50s.
Okay.
Early 60s, maybe a little bit. Yeah.
I'm on episode 5. I'm entering episode 5. Yeah. So I can't wait to see the plane.
Yeah, I think that's like 8, 9. It's just that stuff is like towards the end before they actually, you'll see.
You'll see. I can't wait. I know this definitely has good cliffhangers. I devour each episode, but now I'm caught up too, so that it's weekly now. And what are some moments that you looked at on the monitor there and you were like, okay, we nailed it? What are some scenes and moments that made you feel really
well,
great?
Well, definitely as far as a hairdresser, we look at just the hair. I thought I didn't look at the whole show, but when I'm looking at a monitor, I always think that things should be better than what they are. Because even though you nail it, you always say, oh, I could have done that better. I should have done this.
That's why you're good at what you do. Yeah.
That we beat ourselves up all the time.
Of course.
I would have to say that Myrtle in episode 3, when she's at the phone booth, there's a couple shots of her that are just the back of her wig, the front of her, that whole inside the phone booth, because it's so spaceshipy and so into the retro future. Yes. And then she just looks so 50s inside the booth, that one. And there's so many shots of Billy and Jack's different, close-ups of him that I thought we really nailed it on. And I'd have to say Shirley, there's a couple shots of Shirley in episode 2 where the wig looks great. I mean, it's, with the whole costume and the hair together, and she so carries it off so well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious, you just spurred me envisioning the grocery store scene with Allison Pill, and I was curious.
Oh yes,
I was curious what that day was like on set. I mean, did it take all day? Was it a disaster?
Well, it didn't take all day because as we do these Apple TV shows and these shows, we move a little faster now.
Okay,
so we had to be prepared. It did take a while because her acting was so, and every take, every time she knocked it down, and then she shook her head, and she's going crazy.
Yeah,
but of course her hair and her wig is going mad. So I had to reset it each time. So, because it moves and she's throwing things and keeping her hat on. And
Right.
She's a head mover. She acts, she's like all over the place. So it's like, you got to stand by in every take. You got to be right there to fix it all back up.
I love it. Do you have somebody who's on standby when you're like, okay, Allison's working right now, so make sure you're at the ready. Is that something you just know?
Well, basically, but actually I was there for her because I actually did her wig, so I was there. And if I wasn't there, then I have my key and the rest of my crew to watch if I'm off doing something else. Yeah.
Oh, it must be so fun
that
to
day,
watch
I was
her.
Definitely there that day. I was there that day.
You're like, I remember that day.
I remember that one. Oh, yeah.
And was that one of the moments that really challenged you? Were there other moments that really challenged you on set?
Yeah, that was challenging. There was towards the end, there was a couple scenes where their rocket's actually taking off. And that day shooting where we were, the winds were blowing about 40 miles an hour. So everybody's outside. All the principal actors are outside and their hair's just going. And so it's like when it starts blowing that hard, there's really nothing you can do.
Right.
Because even if you reset it, you're outside, you're in an element. So I haven't seen that episode yet. So I hope maybe they fixed it a little bit. I don't know. But it looked real because it's supposed to be like the spaceship.
Exactly.
Taking off. So, but that was like, you sit back and go, oh, it's just there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. You have
that
to
was
give
probably
it, give
one
it
of the most challenging days. That it was coming up. And I think that's in like episode 10. But
Where did you guys film again?
In New York.
Okay. New York. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
All over New York.
Yeah.
And that was out in, I think that location was, I think it was Long Island, I think. But all over New York, Long Island, you know, the stage was in Brooklyn.
Steiner.
Brooklyn, New York. So, yeah.
I live
Steiner,
right.
Steiner, thank you.
Yeah, right by Steiner. How do you work? Okay, so let's talk about your team for this. I love talking, and my listeners like to hear about the organization of the team and how you delegate. And can you share a little bit with me, like how you lead your team on a project like this?
Yes.
Is it different than film at all, or is TV?
No. Okay. This is basically like doing these streaming shows now. It's basically like doing a middle budget $60 million movie now.
Got it.
Because either you have the $300 million or you have low budget. So I feel like this is doing your old school $60 million motion picture because you want it to look as good as you can, you know?
Yeah.
So even though film, it's a little different than it used to be. It's not like Law and Order, you know, as I say, you know what I mean? It's not like just doing cops here. This, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it with, you know, so, it's myself and I have a key who's really my right hand, and I usually delegate. Like with Shirley was in a lot of stuff. So I had Kristen Edwards, who's an amazing hairdresser, take care of her. And I had Andre Gunnerman, who was my third hairstylist, take care of Joey and a couple other actors. And I did Myrtle and of course I did Billy and I did Barbara. And then the rest of my team, I had like 10 hairdressers doing all the background that worked, you know, all the wigs in the background. And so, yeah. Have to delegate it. You can't do it all yourself. It's all about teamwork. You know, you have to make sure you spread the work out. So, you know, and that you trust the people that work with you. So if you have to leave and go do something, somebody can step up for you and just take care of it. With feeling comfortable.
How do you find the people that you trust? What appeals to you that makes you go, okay, I'm never letting this person go?
First of all, we got to be a good hairdresser.
Yeah. Number one.
That's good. They have to also not be actually the best hairdressers. They have to be a team player. Mm-hmm. They have to, no drama. We don't like a lot of drama. You know, this is not about no egos. We leave the egos outside the door. And in my trailers, I don't like that at all because it doesn't help anybody, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes mm-hmm. I let my people do my people and I have to go take care of somebody else. And we swap it out if we have to, you know, but for the actor's sake, they usually like that same person to follow them, and then once in a while, if you have to hand them off, then they're okay. You know, they just get comfortable with somebody and it's all about them because they're in front of the camera. So
of course,
trust is everything. You just want to make sure you're on if you feel trust, these people trust somebody. Yeah.
Problem solver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And also too, they just got to be ready to step up and, you know, if you have to leave or if somebody gets hurt, if I have to walk away, that person has to step up and do my job for me if I can't be there.
Right.
So you have to really have trust in those people.
Without a lot of hand-holding. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need a lot of hand-holding. That's what you can do some hand-holding for people that are new coming in to work and you want some new people because they usually really want to learn.
Sure, of course.
You can all learn all the time. And that but on period shows, it's really hard for that. There's no time.
Yeah, you know,
You really have to know the craft to get in there and be able to do it.
Yeah.
And get everybody ready in a certain amount of time and get everybody out there on set. So. Yeah,
it sounds like there's really a system in place that's very effective for these shows.
There is,
How did you come to this particular project?
Well, I think probably my reputation for period hair. I mean, I do both, but I've done a lot of period hair. My background comes from the theater, so.
Oh, does it?
So when I came to do movies, I was kind of like, got right in there on the period shows because I knew all the periods. So I just had to clean up my act to make That's it, you amazing. Know, better for the camera. Yeah. And I had worked with Apple before on a bunch of shows, Dickinson and BC's Story. And I had an interview with Billy and 5 minutes later after the interview, they called me and hired me. So I guess he liked me. So
what is Billy like? He's such a genius.
Oh, he's the
best.
Nicest guy in the world.
I bet so professional and just like,
so
about
professional,
the work.
So talented and no drama, you know. But he knows what he wants. I mean, you know, he knows if you don't know what you're doing, you know, so you gotta know what you're doing.
Yeah. I bet.
But he's really a great leader.
And he comes from the theater too. So that must
be
kismet.
He does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started in the industry at all?
Oh God. Well, you want a long story or a short story?
I want the long one.
Okay. Well, I started off in a salon. I'm from Los Angeles originally. Okay. And I'm not going to tell you the year because you're going to know by what I tell you. But and as a hairstylist in the salon. And then I was dating a guy. He was in a show that came to California called Beatlemania. It was a Broadway show. And he was the drummer. And so I would go backstage and hang out. And I started like hanging out in the hair room. And so this guy, Butch, I started learning how to do wigs with him. And then all of a sudden.
Oh, that's a great name.
I know. So then I get a phone call saying, hey, you want to go on the road and do a tour of Beatlemania in Canada? And I said, okay, this is like, I'm 21 years old, right? And I said, sure. So I went and did that. I realized I really liked it. Mm. Came back to LA, went to Joe Blasco and learned makeup and hair, went to another to learn the theatrical side and movie side of it. And,
yeah.
And then I got a lot of shows that came through. I ended up moving to New York. I did 25 big Broadway shows. And then I did was in you? New York. And yeah.
What were some of your favorites?
Oh, Dreamgirls, 42nd Street, The Secret Garden. Into the Woods, oh. King and I, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. I mean, there's a bunch, Arsenic and Lace, tons of them. But my last one I did was Titanic, the musical Titanic.
And what and made you say made now I'm, okay, what prompted that turn?
Well, I the started schedule. Getting different. Well, once I got it, yeah, I always kind of wanted to do film. And I was dipping in it. I was in theater a little bit here and there. Then after I took my union test in New York, but one of my mentors, Colleen Callahan, was doing giving the test, and I got like a 99. So all of a sudden, I was doing my first film was A Beautiful Mind with her.
Oh wow!
So, yeah, so I got started on that, and then from there, I just kept doing film after film. So yeah,
wow.
Been doing it a long time.
That's amazing.
And two different careers: theater and now film.
Yeah. Wow! Yeah. Yeah. Now, are they're two different unions? Yeah, the Broadway and the film.
No, it's the same.
Oh, okay.
I'm in both. There's LA, and then there's New York.
Got it.
IATSE, but you have to there's a journeyman, which I am.
Yeah.
And there's a theater division.
So yeah. You're in
the theater division or the movie division. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got it. Mm-hmm. And then now I have to ask you about my favorite movie.
Uh-oh, what is it?
It's I just wanted to ask you what it was like working on The Greatest Showman. I just love
oh my God.
So much. It's like
that was
a secret. I don't understand why people like it's not Moulin Rouge or something. It's so good. And I want to hear about that.
Okay. Well, that's what was gonna talk about that too. My friend Jerry Popolis, who was the department head, was department heading it and asked me to be in charge of the oddity. So my job was department heading all the dancers.
Okay.
So I took care of all the freaks and all the dancers in the show. So all the big numbers, that was all me and my team. Oh. And then there was the trailer with all the principals and there was my team. And then there was the background team. So we had a lot of fun. I mean, it was every day was creating all those characters, you know, all of them was a lot of fun. And a lot of it came out of my own kit. Like, cause they were asking, you know, cause we were there, we were like building stuff and like the albino's wig was something we took us like 3 weeks to build. I had five people standing there doing all the dreadlocks and making every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
A base wig. Yeah. And and so it was a lot of fun. And the best part of that was Hugh. I mean, what a great, another one that he's so nice to everybody that makes the whole environment so much fun.
How does he do that? I mean, he has every right to be kind of a jerk and he does not.
He knew everybody's name.
Oh,
everybody,
God.
You know, it's like, how do you do that when you're starring in a show? I don't know. He's a phenomenal, and every day when we were doing all those numbers, you know, the dance numbers, everybody, we would all sit in the stands while they're in the arena doing all the dance numbers. Everybody was dancing and singing and we all had so much fun.
That music.
It was a really great, really great show. Lots of fun.
Amazing. It's the greatest show, actually, Susie. It's the greatest show.
It's the greatest show. And then everybody from all the work from there to trailer work to the background work to costume, just everything, we all just got along and it was just fun. It's a great experience.
That's wonderful. Really good stuff. I think that was, they filmed that at Steiner too in Brooklyn.
We did find that. Yeah.
Steiner. Okay.
And actually, I'll make a correction on where we shot
Hello Tomorrow.
We did it at Broadway Stages.
It
was Broadway Stages, not Steiner. I've been to so many, we'll go back. Which one did I do there?
Oh my God.
It was Broadway Stages, but The Greatest Show definitely was Steiner. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I remember my friend did the dolly for that. So he would send me like little sneaky BTSs and I was
the
day this comes out, I am going. And I did with my dad and son.
Yeah,
and
so much fun.
Incredible. So tell me about that little award you have in the background there. I see.
That's for impeachment. for doing Clive Owen on Impeachment.
Let me tell you about Impeachment. That was so good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. I loved it. So you did Clive Owen for that.
Clive. I just did Clive on that. I do him a lot. He's one of my guys. I do. Yeah.
Oh, he was incredible. So then you got the Emmy for that. What was that like?
I was in France. I didn't get to go. I have it right here. I was in France doing it, my film with him called Once You're Spayed. And so we were in France, so I didn't get to go. But the girls all called and sent me photos, and I got the Emmy. I just wasn't able to be there.
I was
at other ones, but I've got nominated a couple other times.
What were you nominated for?
The Nick. Mm-hmm. We were 2 years of the Nick. Mm-hmm.
So are you Clive's personal or
I am
films?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay. Yes. And what's that like being a personal? Can you talk a little bit about the difference between being a personal?
It's a lot different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just do one person.
Yeah.
I know that.
Right. Exactly. It's like,
when you're doing one person, especially when they're number one or number two, whatever one he is, just depending on who else is in the movie, they treat you a little bit better, I have to say, because you're kind of like above the line when you go in with them. So you can ask for a little more. You're kind of like I've become his friend too. So he relies on me to be standing by. And I think that's with a lot of actors with personals. It just feels like not only do they like what you do for them, they're also friends. So they feel comfortable around you. And so everybody, you know, wants to ask me questions about Clive. And I'm like, I don't know why you ask him. You know, it's like, you know, because he's like a super nice guy. You know, you also don't want to overstep working with him for about 9 years now to where you get a point where you can answer for them, because that could turn against you. So I keep it totally professional. And when we go out together and have fun together, that's a different side of it. So
that's a really good tip.
But it's nice to do both, the department head and do period stuff. And then when I get a chance to work with him, when he calls, I go, because he's just a great guy. So
now, can you talk, are you comfortable talking to me about how, like, my goal in life and with this podcast is to get people who are the makeup department head and the personal to have everybody get along and work together. And sometimes that's not always the case. And don't you see the value in everyone? Sometimes the teams can be a little bit like, it's stigmatized a little bit, right? About the divide or the line. But don't you agree that we're all on the same team making?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. When I'm a department heading and somebody comes in as a personal, I'm like, thank God. It takes one person off my plate. So I think that's a great thing. So when I go in, I hope I get treated the same way. There's people that don't do that though, and I've experienced that before. I'm not going to mention any names because
I do hear about it a lot.
Yeah, but I'm always very happy as a department and when somebody brings somebody and I try to make them feel comfortable. And then, you know, you have to think about that too. That's one less person you have to do.
For sure.
You got enough to do as department head. You need to do everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, like, you know, I saw it on the Eyes of Tammy Faye, that they all were a family and it got them the Oscar to be united like that. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they got the Oscar for a lot of reasons, but that was definitely, it definitely helped to be
for a lot of reasons.
Family. You guys are all a big family and making everything look amazing.
It really helps when you all talk to each other and there's no egos and everybody's, because the more you collaborate together, the better it's going to be. You
know, absolutely. And the days are so long. Why make them longer?
Oh yeah. God. Yes. There's nothing worse than have people you don't get along with for 18 hours. And
I know.
We don't want that. I hate that.
No.
We don't want that.
No. Do you have any other pieces of advice, Susie? You're had such a long and fruitful career. And do you have any other pieces for advice for somebody who's getting into the industry now?
Yeah, I would say go to school, learn as much as you can, train as much as you can. It's always good to know, like I'm just working on a show called Feud that's been here just day playing for my friends that are on it. Feud too. And it's, you know, set in the 1960s and the 1970s. And they brought in like all of us, you know, like people that we have. There's one guy that works that's 80 something years old who's been doing movies forever. And he's there doing background. And some to watch him do hair is like watching, there's nobody that doesn't like him. His name is Victor D. Nicola. And he has this one thing he does for the 60s that's like, you can't match it. It's like, I try and get everybody to stand around him and learn. You should learn from everybody. I learn all the time. So we all, even though I department head, if somebody needs my help, I love going doing background.
Yeah.
You know, get to see what everybody's doing and everybody kind of shares the thing. And it's really great. So,
And
also, and you know, also too, I'd have to say the most important thing is be on time. Show up. That's so important.
Why do we have to say that?
I know. Exactly. I know. There's so many people. It's like, all you got to do is show up. And some people just, I know that's a big thing of mine. It's just be on time. You know, be early, yes. Be on time. I mean, everybody gets in an accident or something, but there's those people that are always, and it's like,
what do you think that's about? Them. What is that about?
I don't know. I think that's just part of their, I don't know. I still can't figure that out.
Self-sabotage or some kind of strange.
My biggest thing is you can learn from anybody. You know, if you're on set, learn from everybody that's there because everybody's got something to offer. And then you learn and you watch everybody. And then you put it together for yourself. Mm-hmm. Then you make it your own. That's pretty much the best way to do it, I think.
Has an actor ever taught you something? Like sometimes, you know, like sometimes you hear about an actor being like, let's try this. Has there been a moment ever where someone sort of put a new idea about how to do something in your head?
Well, actors are always, here's the thing about hair. Everybody does their own hair. So a lot of times when the actor comes in, they know what they want. They'll like, you know, show them something and then they'll go, well, maybe if we go to this side or
interesting,
or maybe, you know, I kind of like it better like this. And then you look at them and go, well, you know, they're right. You're right. Okay. You're absolutely right. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times, like with makeup, it's a little bit different. With hair, everybody gets up every morning and brushes their hair.
Yeah.
And especially the guys. The guys are very picky about their hair, I have to say.
They sure
are. They've always got something, you know, going on. They do have ideas, the men.
Yeah. My son has started asking me to help him with his hair, but literally nothing is good enough. Like, I'm like, why am I here? Like, just learn to do this yourself.
And listen to the men because a lot of times they know what they want. And then you go and, I always listen to them.
Yeah.
And then if I don't agree with it, I'll kind of just don't say anything. I'll just work my stuff into it. Mm. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden they'll go, oh, okay. And then it all comes. Yeah.
I like
you never want to go like this. You don't want to butt heads. That doesn't help anything.
No.
That just makes it worse. Yeah, not good.
Do you have any advice too about keeping the length of the career that you have? Like, you are always learning. You said that, which can help you feel like rejuvenated all the time. Is there anything else that you keep in mind? Do you take a vacation? Do you book out like a certain amount of time?
I do. You try to. I mean, it's really hard in this business to take a vacation because sometimes you'll get offered something and then you got something right after that. And I've done a lot of back-to-backs. Now in the last 5 years, I've gotten a little bit older and I'm saying, you know what, maybe I'm just going to not take this one. I get a little bit more picky because I need a little time off. You know, I think it's important to take some time off and have a life because this just, if you keep going and going and going, you're going to be old and you're going to be so tired and unhealthy.
Yeah.
So there's always enough time. You'll always get another job. But we always, anybody in this business, so that we're never going to work again once that job's over. You know, we're never going to work again. It's like we all feel that way. And so we all automatically jump on something else. I would say, and just and love what you do. You know, if you find that you're not happy doing what you do, and then you should get out and go do something else because this is not an easy thing to do. Yeah. I think you have to really love what you do to stick with it. And I do love what I do. That's why I'm still here.
You can tell. You can definitely tell.
So, and if you don't, you know, and there's times where it's gotten rough. Where it's like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I standing on the street in New York City when it's 0 degrees out and the wind's blowing? I'm standing on here for what? You know? And then you go, oh, okay. Then you go back to the trailer and you realize, okay, I guess this is why I'm doing it because I love what I do. Yeah. I don't want to work at a bank, right? So it's
right. And
I would say love what you do.
And you're working on Feud now, you said?
I was a couple of weeks ago. They wrapped already here.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, they just wrapped. They're in LA right now. I think they're getting ready to wrap today, actually. Okay. They were here. I came back from France in December and I was just hanging around and my friends were said, come over and play with us. So I was just three days a week.
Okay. Yeah,
so that was fun. That's
nice.
That's going to be a great one coming out too. It looks great. It's going to be
Truman
fun.
Truman Capote, the women behind
Truman Capote.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. Truman Capote gets a lot of stories.
I know. There's a lot of them. I know.
I love it. Always something new to discover about Truman Capote.
Exactly.
And everybody else can absolutely devour this show on Apple TV. It's great. It's called Hello Tomorrow. And you can see Susie's work there. And I will be watching. Let's see. It's gone out weekly. So you have to catch up if you haven't already. And then you can watch it weekly. It's a great show. And your work is fantastic, Susie. I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look Behind the Look is a Vinyl Foot production, written by me, your host, Tiffany Bartok. Produced by Jace Bartok, edited by Evan Rivard. If you're interested in learning more, find our video version on the YouTube channel, Look Behind the Look Podcast. There you can see rare photos and clips from our guests. And please follow us on Twitter at LookBehindPod and Instagram at LookBehindTheLook. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. And tell your friends and spread the word. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or any podcatcher of your choice. Thanks for listening to Look Behind the Look.